May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving is one of those times of year that has been getting even more and more short shrift in our public consciousness. Retailers don't even pretend there's a break between Halloween and Christmas. Saturday Night Live recently did a whole sketch under the premise that there's not really any well-known Thanksgiving songs in popular music that you'll find, like maybe when you might hear someone humming the Monster Mash or All I Want for Christmas Is You. And on top of that, the heartbreaking and conflictual history of our settler forebears with the original Americans who first lived here, and the realities of our own family conflicts at the dinner table. Well, just seems that Thanksgiving doesn't have a lot going for it in our culture out at large. Were it not for the excuse to get a day off, overeat, and watch football or some binge-worthy TV, Thanksgiving, I think, would probably disappear altogether. But imagine instead, like the psalmist does in 126, an age in which the Lord restored our fortunes. The first half of this psalm, it seems to have already happened. It's a dreamlike state. It's surreal. Real joy swells in the heart. Israel's name is great among the various nations of the world, and it's positive. God has brought all things back to their perfection, giving his people a source of palpable gladness. Those opening lines of 126 capture a state where all fears have been put to rest, where a vision that is meaningful has inspired God's people all along, and where the Lord's beloved are secure in the reality that God has not abandoned or forsaken them. Then the verb tense shifts in the psalm. Instead of looking backward on a golden age when the Lord set all things right, the psalm looks ahead with a hope and a confidence in that golden age down the road. It's a perfect example of what it's like to live in the already not yet life after Calvary, but before the second coming. Just as Christ has already won the victory over sin and death, we have yet to see the full fruit of that victory spill over into every heart and into every corner of creation. The psalmist looks ahead to this bright future with a prayer on his lips. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Just like God floods the desert wadis every rainy season. Just like a farmer plants often in tears or trepidation, but then gleefully brings in the harvest at season's end. The psalmist isn't throwing up images of wishful thinking like the study recently that captured that the most practical way, in quotes, a sizable portion of the American public anticipate any change in their income for the better is to literally hit the lottery. No. The holy poet cites examples of God being dependable. The twice-yearly rains of the Holy Land, the twice-yearly planting and harvest seasons of ancient Israel that they were blessed with, and even that their liturgical calendar was based on. The psalmist looks ahead to the golden age of God's promises fulfilled, armed with other promises of our loving Lord that he's already made good on in this life, time. And again, He can readily shoot down any despair, any despondency, any devilish fear that's thrown across his heart's path. He has seen God's goodness before, and he is convinced God can and will do good things again. So we have good reason to celebrate Thanksgiving and to be genuinely thankful while doing it. We have a promise-keeping Father who has fulfilled those promises in His Son and has placed His own Spirit in our hearts as the down payment of the promises that we anticipate in the future. We have a God who inspired the psalmist with a heavenly vision for His people on earth based on the good things that he has already seen the Lord do time and again. We live in a country where, for all its warts and worries, by divine providence, some residue of common grace remains, enough of which that we are publicly encouraged to count our blessings, and perhaps even to rekindle the flames of a holy hope, even when the embers of such hope may be waning in our own lives. Let us pray. Most loving Father, whose will it is for us to give thanks for all things, to fear nothing but the loss of you, and to cast all our care on you who cares for us, preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal, and which you have manifested to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.